Call a meeting to order, salute to the flag, pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Welcome, everyone, on this extremely warm evening. We'll open the floor for public comment. Kurt.
I took it upon myself to call the real estate manager of Stewart's Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
The idea came to me, wouldn't it be wonderful, since we are losing our bank, that a bank opened up in that building? Come back to Nassau. I know a lot of groups and businesses are concerned about not having a bank within proximity. So I think he was a little surprised, but I said, I'm sure you're marketing the property, and you know, maybe you might want to make some contacts with some of the banks and see if it works. He says, I just might do that. So
mm-hmm.
I think we should start a little campaign here to get the word out. I've spoken to some people, and everybody, nobody says it's a crazy idea.
No, you know, you realize, there isn't one bank in the town of Nassau left.
Yeah.
Nope. Not a one. Not that the one that was there was in the town of Nassau, but
right.
It was close enough.
So, who knows? That would be something to maybe shoot for. And I brought something for Ms. Bogash. Last month, he went on at great length about not having rail trails under power lines. Here's 24 examples, and I'm sure you could go to that website and find many more.
That's possible. That doesn't mean it's a good idea.
Okay. Anybody else?
Thank you for the info.
Glendora?
I regret to inform you that this month's meeting of the Clairvoyance Club has been canceled due to unforeseen circumstances. My name is Glendora. I live at 45A Elm Street, and I own a 1980 Lincoln Town Car Continental Mark VI, 325,000 miles. And I watched Ultraloop put gasoline in the carburetor and back the car out, or drive it out, so I could get it all polished up, and I saw them put gasoline in the carburetor again and put it back in. And I have had the car 36 years, and I've done that about 50 times myself. And I called Ultraloop to come back and do it again, and they said, oh, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, well, no. So I decided Sunday afternoon to do it myself. And I guess I put too much gasoline into the well on the bottom plate of the breather. And that gasoline, and I went in and I turned it on and it cranked, but it wouldn't start. It cranked a couple times and it almost started. And then all of a sudden there was a flame. And the flame got this big, about this big. Chris Carroll, my neighbor at 55 Elm Street, came, he's a volunteer fireman for Valencia, and he came and he looked and I watched, and then I went into my house to get the fire extinguisher, and when I came out the fire was out. Chris had put it out, and so he sua sponte, on his own motion, had called 911, and about 5 or 6 minutes they were all there. And I'm here tonight to commend Officer Fuchs, F-U-C-H-S, in Colony, for being so solicitous and courteous and helpful, and he gave me a great deal of relief. And the fire department was pretty good, except they came with a long pliers, and they were going to cut the wire that goes from the whatchamacallit to the battery. And I said, no, if you want the wire, just take off the negative terminal. So I caught that in time, and then the ambulance crew, they were very good. But particularly after they had all left, Officer Fuchs came back, and he had some more questions. And then he took care of the great big gas jug that was really too heavy for me to lift. So I'm very grateful for those people, and I would like to make it a matter of record. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'm very sorry I caused them all that trouble.
Thank you. Anyone else? Tim?
Yeah, you know Bob. I had an accident on the corner of 203 near Cumberland Farms, and I see it's on the agenda tonight about the intersection. I just want to reiterate that that is a very dangerous intersection right now. Even my wife got a close call the other day with a car. I've got a couple there, people pulling across from Chatham Street, from Malden Street, taking a left into the entrance because the entrance is so close to the intersection now, to where the D is. Plus, there's no sight distance when you're coming up to the light on Chatham Street. There's a dumpster that's kind of blocking that view, and it's a propane tank. The dumpster is really the issue. You know, even a couple more seconds or a second more of warning, I would have seen the car pulling over, it probably would have helped. But I really, until we get this intersection redesigned, and I know that's in our master plan for some time in the future, or not the future, at least I think we need to put a no left turn sign at the end of Malden Street so that people don't have the opportunity to pull across in front of Pizza Place and directly into the parking lot. You cannot see when you're coming towards the light on Chatham Street. I know it's going to probably increase traffic a little bit on Economy because they're going to circle around and go that way, but you know, in the interim, that's probably the best solution at this point. But
he has no other function. So if he's, you know, so if he's not doing his job, well, no, he's not doing his job. We don't have to hear, well, I was doing code, you know, I did an inspection over here, and you know, I was working with so-and-so on a building permit, because he's not going to be working on that stuff. But that's, I mean, and I think we can hire somebody to do that on a reasonable basis. You know, take a trip through the village a couple times a week, and some time to generate some letters or, you know, whatever. And I don't think it'd be too expensive to do it. But I think you got to do more than just pass a law. I mean, you know, right. Passing a law is just sugarcoat. You know, I did something.
Unless you're going to enforce it.
Right, exactly.
And then the question is, even if you enforce it, are you getting money back?
That's why I'm purposely drawing this thing out and, you know, not just putting it on the agenda and saying, let's have a hearing and get it done, because I want to be sure that the board is supportive and that not only the board, but the residents are supportive of, you know, this type of legislation that is, you know, it's going to be burdensome on some people, and, you know, and people are going to be treated fairly. Everybody's going to be treated the same, so, you know.
We also need, like you made a comment, is the county going to want to re-levy this? So we have to make sure.
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
We had a case in Skodak where that became an issue, because what they tried to do was they had a building that they thought was way below code. And this is before my time. They kind of went in and jumped the gun. And I think they kicked the guy out of the house, and then the guy sued us. And we hired a lawyer and basically lost and paid those lawyers something like $50,000. And then we tried to put the $50,000 on the tax levy as kind of, you know, like code violation. And the county kicked it back. Mm-hmm. In other words, there's a limit to what they're going to re-levy. It's not just going to be ours. So that's a question we're going to have to make sure that this kind of stuff
can be re-levied. Yeah, that's a little different, though, I would think.
But yeah. No,
I mean, you know, I think this law. I think this law specifically states that any fees that are charged as a result of this can be can be assessed to the tax bill.
Right, and that's the question whether the county's going to agree with that.
Yeah,
because the county's going to make us whole, as I understand it. That's what they do with the towns.
Mm-hmm.
And when they go to do these foreclosure sales, they're eating the difference, because by the time it gets to the foreclosure sale, if you got a bunch of these fees on it, there's a bunch of other stuff wrong too. They're not gonna get money back.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if we were to split the job, we would have to do it next budget.
Well,
You're recommending that we have a code.
Unless we move money from someplace to do it, but you know, I mean, and we have to take a, we have to find out what it's going to cost us to do the job.
Right.
And I mean, you know, and there are monies in the budget. I mean, there's contingent accounts, there's other things. I mean, you know, there's You know, there's places we could do this, but there's, I mean, I'm not saying do it now because, I think we need to have some better laws in place.
I think we can fine-tune this.
Well, yeah.
Maybe even have Kevin come in and take some time to go through this thoroughly and kind of add his input and even mention to him about bringing on another code enforcement officer, see what he thinks on that, and, you know.
I have to say, too, that you just want to keep in mind that 90% of the homeowners that walked away from their homes, you cannot find them. I mean, I have stacks of letters and bills sent back to us. So we can bill them, and that's fine, but you're not going to see any improvements on the buildings, actually, until they get to the bank, which sometimes takes several years, like the one on the corner that Mantegna was in. The bank just started doing stuff with that. It takes sometimes several years for a foreclosure to finish. So you're still going to see several-year gap between things getting done. Because you're not going to contact the 90% of them, you're not going to be able to find them. We can send them letters saying we're going to bill them and everything, and that's nice, but they're not going to care because they're not even going to get the letter. They're sitting in the office right now.
We have lists of the banks that own the buildings.
Yeah, but you don't get that.
The banks are going to be run by the state.
And with the new I think we could notify the bank that we're notifying the owners.
It takes a long time to get the bank, though.
Yeah, but then that requires us to go down and do title searches to find out who's called. You know, in other words, you got a house that was abandoned. The guy bought it 15 years ago. He skipped out 4 years ago. The mortgage was originally given to Wells Fargo. Then it was assigned to, it's...
That's the problem we have right now.
I mean, we don't have the resources to be down there, and even if you went down to the county clerk, you know, it's not like the old days where they would assign these things and you would see the assignment on the records. It's done through that mortgage electronic registration system. You know, everybody in this room could be paying a mortgage to somebody different. They're paying to a servicer. Who the hell knows? You know, we're not going to be able to track that.
I mean, I did that on one property over on Maple, and after tracking the bank, 3 banks later, it ends up being in a bankruptcy court, and it's going to sit there in limbo forever because the bank gave up rights to it. I got a letter on that. The homeowner has no rights to it, so now it's it.
Yep. And it's sold by the trustee.
It's complicated.
All right. Well, take a look through there. I think we should still work the effort to fine-tune this and talk more about it and figure out what we want to do with it. But I think we got to do something.
It all falls together with the whole master plan and grants and everything we're trying to do, so
yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Don't want to give up on it.
No.
Animal control law, so that was the one where we were putting all the farm animals back in the pens.
The pens,
yeah. Well, the only ones that were, they were actually not allowed to be had in the village. So, I don't know, where is that? If I have a copy of that one with me.
I sent out, after we met, I sent out a draft of that. That was the one you wanted to do, the total prohibition of horses, cattle,
yep,
poultry, sheep, or swine. Cows are kept within the limits of the village of Nassau.
Correct. And that was added on to an existing law,
right,
in the animal
right,
law,
right,
under one of the sections in the village code already,
yep.
So, what do you want to do with that? So,
did everybody get a copy of that?
You had a lot of objections or questions to that, so I don't know where we stand. If you know, people want to start going towards more, you know, raising their own chickens and eggs and stuff. So, I'm kind of caught in the middle on that one there because too many people were kind of opposed to that one. So, I don't know unless you come up with an alternative. What are you thinking on it?
Well, I mean, you know, you could pull poultry out and, you know, allow for chickens. I mean, that would be one way. And leave the rest of the stuff in so we don't have...
One of the discussions were that you'd have to pen them instead of letting them run around, you know.
Like a chicken leash law.
No, you'd have to have them in a chicken
coop. Don't they already have that? Don't we already have that? They have to be...
No, it just says they can't be at large.
Yeah.
You know,
no, I mean...
But that's off the property.
Okay.
But, you know, you got to keep them on your property. But Bob, I'll ask my sister in the town of Sand Lake.
I looked. I didn't see anything.
Yeah,
there.
You know, she...
I think Sand Lake is one of the ones that doesn't post their stuff on the
property. Yeah, I'll ask my sister. She used to be a court clerk. We'll see if she can get the law. But
Yeah, if you can forward it over to me.
Josh, it might be on E-code, maybe. I don't know if they have this.
Josh, you kind of were on the fence about it last meeting, too, right, about the chickens and stuff? And
I just think it's, you know, it's kind of forward-thinking to consider allowing chickens because it's something that's coming back and there's people who can have them responsibly. I think if the right guidelines are put in place and you're clear now, you don't deal with those ambiguities later on. Like, at large, I think maybe is a little bit ambiguous. I think there's plenty of, like, all he allows them, I think you said, guy. There's other large cities that allow them, and they're successful at, you know, keeping them. Somebody mentioned that one of them, Troy allows them. So, you know, I think from a density standpoint, it can happen here. But
all right, so
you've got to be clear. You've got to lay the criteria out where why they're allowed instead of leaving that up to, you know, the landowners.
Well, I think we should have an option then, too. And then, you know, when we hold a public hearing, we can take comment on to which way does the residents want to go. They want to, you know, eliminate them altogether, or do you want to allow them under these conditions? And maybe we'll take the next month to see if we can find some legislation that deals with how they're housed on the property.
Does that include roosters?
Well, that's one of the questions. That's one of the questions.
I think the town of San Lake should can't have roosters.
Yeah.
We shouldn't allow roosters.
Okay.
Never had chickens.
There was some. I'll see if I can get it.
I agree.
Again, I don't argue it, but, you know.
Yeah. Nothing I want, but whatever. All right, so the refuse bid is up next, so everybody should have had a copy of that, right? That's what we're going around. So I think we've finalized all that, and we should be having Matt put that out to bid, right?
Okay. So it was all the changes we had made.
Right. So the last we had last month, I think, were the number of units.
Yeah.
And that's been updated. So I think we're ready to go to bid. So
yeah, the day.
Yeah. So what we're bidding is we're. Urswama is going to put out a bid for us for trash pickup on Tuesday, just like it is now. The same deal, can and one can for trash and one for recycle. And there is an alternate. We've asked for an alternate that if they have a day that would be less expensive for them, and they would like to offer it to the village at a reduced rate, that we would consider changing the day to a different day. And that will be a decision that we'll make based on the cost. I mean, you know, so we'll take that, we'll review it, we'll talk about it at a meeting, and I'm sure we'll get input. So I think we'll put out, at the end of the day, I think for today, I think we're ready to go to bid, right?
Right, our contract up January 1, right?
Right. So I'll entertain a motion to put the refuge out to bid.
Second.
I'll make the motion. Dave made the motion. Second by Randy. Any questions on the motion?
Do we have to set a date that we want it back?
We'll let Matt figure that out. He's doing it for us anyway, so. Okay, any questions on the motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Okay, discussion on the Malden Chatham Cumberland Farms intersection. I agree. I think that intersection should be redesigned. I know we've talked about it in the past. So we'll have to look at that. I mean, it's
we'll put that in with the technical assistance. You know, that'll be part of that. So, you know, and if Tim, if you want to be involved, by all means.
I think though that there's an issue, an immediate issue. I mean, Tim has suggested, you know, the no left turn.
Yeah, and that's going to take a local law to put in. You can't just put up a sign.
Agreed. But you know, I think we need to understand whether, you know, what we need beside the local law. I know for a stop sign, for example, you have to have a traffic study and all these things.
Wouldn't that be DOT?
Well, it's actually on Malden Street would be the no left turn sign, so that's not a state road there. And I think we should definitely send Kevin over there to, for the dumpster, because it's right on, it's literally on the road. I mean, it's.
And you're talking about the pizzas.
The pizza dumpster,
okay. Yeah. Pizza.
Yeah. I mean, I know they have room on the other side of the building.
I'll personally go talk to them first before I send Kevin.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I've experienced it myself. It's very tempting to just shoot across Chatham Street.
Well, plus the stop sign is not in an opportune place. I mean, it's where the end of the street is, but you can't see up Chatham Street from there. So you stop at the stop sign, and then you have to pull up into the V so you can see what's going on around you. And
it's very dangerous. We had, just 2 months ago, we had an accident there where somebody was coming from Rampy's wanting to go to Cumberland Farms. Somebody was taking a left out of Cumberland Farms and they struck. And then, it's...
Yeah, so we definitely do need to look at redesigning that for sure, so...
Yeah, it's just that, you know, with the increased traffic over Cumberland Farms, it's really sort of made that problem, exacerbated it. So.
All right, so maybe over the next month we can talk about that or come up with some ideas, too.
Yeah.
So crack ceiling, we got a price. I want to thank Randy for taking up the slack on the road projects so we can get this stuff done this summer. I'll let Randy explain what's going on with that.
Under state contract, Gorman came out to look at our roads with Jay. They furnished us with a quote to do the roads that needed crack sealing. Now, Guy and I were talking. I can't remember the last time we crack sealed. I mean, it was back before you.
Before.
So we haven't done any crack sealing in probably 10 years, probably, right? 8-10 years. So way overdue. And I got a quote from Gorman. I'm glad I sat, was sitting down and I read it, but it's $16,250 to do Phillips, Tremont Drive, John Street, Route 20 to Westbrook Drive, Elm Street, traffic light to Bridge, Lake Ave, Elm Street to Village Line, Morgan Street, Phelps Insurance to Village Line, Fairground Street, John Street to Route 203, Economy Street, Route 203 to Morgan Street. It was $16,250. And the quote didn't have those streets, but Jay wrote them down and went around with them. I believe we have money in the budget.
We do.
To do this, and I think we need to do it, because if we don't, we're going to have roads that are fall under the 10-year chips.
That's under the public
works
bid, isn't
it?
I don't have that in the top of my head.
It's a state contract.
State contract.
It's already been established.
Okay. It's PC 67365.
I think a public works is more than 20,000. It's some higher amount than that.
Is that every road in the village?
No, there's a few missing. It doesn't have Maple, didn't have Cozy Howard. I was gone through,
Right, if we don't do anything,
why?
Cullen Drive. It doesn't need it, evidently.
I think some of the newer paved ones are.
Yeah, they were done.
Yeah, we did some paving last.
Who did the assessment? Mr. Gorman did that assessment.
Well, they're state contracts. Oh, you're not going to get a. We have to go.
We don't have to go to bid, so.
So you know it doesn't qualify.
Chips. It comes out of our budget, but we budgeted $28,000 for road maintenance, and this is maintenance.
Right.
Gotta do it.
Right. I talked to Jay and asked him if he had foreseen anything major to the roads other than manhole or. Water
catch basins,
and so I think we'll be all right if we do that. But if we don't do something, we're going to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, especially Elm Street. Elm Street, the street here, Morgan Street is in bad shape. So I think we should. We got the money, so I don't think we have to do a resolution, do we? Or
well, we do need to accept the bid and do a resolution. Yes, we do. So you want to make that?
Yeah. So
Randy makes a motion to accept Gorman Brothers' quote for doing the crack ceiling
I'll second.
Second by Guy. Any questions on the motion?
Just wanted to let you know the quote was like a high quote. You said it could be a little bit less, but that's the most of the
right. So most of these are done on a what they call on a per item basis. So you know, so it's there was a
gallon.
A gallon.
Is that the only company that we could use?
Well, this is the they have the state contract.
Oh, so no matter what, that's
right. So the state bids this stuff every year, and these guys were elected to be on to be state contracts.
Some of the state roads are in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they go through this whole RFP, so we don't have to.
Okay.
It costs us money.
Yeah. But anyway, there's a price per gallon, so much per gallon. So if and this quote was based on 650 gallons. So if we end up using 600 gallons, it'll be 50 gallons cheaper.
And so one to complete it in 1 to 2 days. And the only thing that we really got to pay attention to is we got to tell people the streets are being done. They can't park them. Right.
Yep.
I mean that's going to have to be enforced or something.
So we're going to have NOVA days, obviously.
Yeah.
NOVA. Well, and you drive on it.
But if there's the motorhome parked over a crack that's got to be sealed, they're not going
to
do it. Right.
Right? They're going to have to move their vehicles
yeah,
to do
that's
that.
That's what I'm saying. Because
so if we know the days they're coming, we can put out notice that, you know, during this time.
Yeah. Well, you put up signs that says, you know, you have to move right? your vehicles by whatever.
All right. I see your hand. Okay.
All right. So any, so all those in favor of accepting Gorman's quote, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Open the floor for public comment. Yes, Laurie.
So how about making Malden a one-way?
That was dumb.
Really?
They tried. Mayor Mensing did that.
Really?
Well.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. So just one way down, and then when it hits here, it's two-way. Just a suggestion.
Yeah.
It's just quantity.
Something to talk about when we review all this stuff.
I don't think we should wait.
Anything else?
Did they do street sweeping recently?
Mm-hmm.
Like last month? Or
no, they did in April.
They did in April?
Yeah.
Did they do Mare Street at all?
I would think they did. Yeah, they did all of them.
It was like probably a whole sandbox worth of.
Yeah, it all comes down the hill.
Been there for years. I mean, I thought about getting a broom myself, but I don't know. I mean, just because, you know.
You got a shovel.
Oh, Jay, go over.
You know, you just see it, and I'm like, oh, man, it's been there for a long time.
We'll have Jay and Pete go over and pick it up.
Okay, Maxine.
I wanted to thank Mr. Benson for giving me some information about trails that go under wires.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Obviously, there are trails that go under wires. That wasn't my major objection to the rail trail.
Your objection is National Grid.
My objection was, I don't know unless I look at that letter and if I need to get a foil to find out what they agreed to. It probably won't come out into legal negotiations later on. But I'm asking, just as we invested a lot of energy and a lot of money was invested in Cumberland Farms, beautiful new building. And originally they wanted to include the veterans building so that they could expand their parking lot. I didn't mention at the beginning, but it's right for me to say now that I was almost killed twice within twice, and could have been killed. Within 5 minutes, as a pedestrian, two drivers weren't looking. Two different drivers were not looking where the heck they were going, and they were racing through that parking lot. Why do I bring this up? Because originally, Cumberland Farm was supposed to include that area, which would have made it a larger, safer place, accommodating a business the size that Cumberland Farms has become. It's just become more dangerous. The parking lot itself is dangerous, and the area around it is dangerous. And the reason I'm bringing that up is, where was the foresight after this multi, I don't know how much they spent on the building, and admittedly, I did not attend the hearings, and I don't know if I would have thought about this then. But I did know then that it was dangerous, and it's my fault. I didn't speak up then. But I'm speaking up now. I'm asking that we have some foresight and not look back as we did with, well, DEC said it was perfectly safe to create a toxic dump, because it wasn't called a toxic dump then. I'm asking that we consider environmental impacts. The rail trail is a fabulous idea, theoretically. I have spent a good portion of my personal free time and my professional endeavors participating and educating, participating in nature pursuits and educating people about nature pursuits. But we have to consider that our need to have a rail trail is not greater than our need to preserve and secure and protect all our water sources, not just the new grand possibility where we want to protect our source water. Well, of course we want to protect that. But, you know, this is the problem people make about nature. It's all connected. It's all connected. If in our blacktop happy way we do things in modern ways, if we were to develop this as a rail trail, if it were paved, we'd be bringing more petroleum product into an area that is, first of all, a federal wetlands by the ACOE, and I'm reading from the original assessment that was done by East Rumis Nassau Village, Nassau Town, Skodak. And I noticed also on our excellent master plan, the master plan mirrors many of the references that are contained herein. There's no way, in my opinion, to track the excellent job of the master plan. I'm just saying on this one particular issue, I'm asking us for us to have some foresight. The other important water that we need to protect is federal wetlands. I mentioned state wetlands. The New York State Department of Environmental Conservation Wetlands Integrated Project is located within a defined wetland check zone, and further studies will be necessary to determine the extent of any impact. Also, it's a stormwater area. That's according to the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. This project will disturb an area that, and it will be required to have to address soil and erosion control per NYSDEC, GP, and they mentioned general construction activity. And also endangered and threatened species have a review needs to be made. The other area is that this is a project that, whatever permission, I don't know what NatGrid, that doesn't press me. Tell me, how are we maintaining this? How are we going to find the money, the resources, the manpower or women power to maintain this? We are going to be responsible for extra insurance costs. It's a great theoretical idea, but we have to consider, is it right for this spot? It's going to cost upwards of, well, the projection originally was $9.5 million for the whole 14, 15 miles, but that was 2011. Consider how much construction costs have increased in that time. As I just threw out a number. I bet, I wouldn't be surprised if we were talking about $752 million, especially if it's paid. All these aspects need to be considered. The idea is fabulous, but is it right for this mile? Considering all the environmental issues, we can't say, oh, it's not going to matter. Where do you think the PFOA came from? Where did all these pollutants come from? They come from miles away. You don't have boundaries when water's concerned. All our sensitive water areas environmentally have to be protected. We can't just say, oh, well, this is a wonderful idea. It is a wonderful idea, but in this spot, in this time, do we have the manpower? Do we have the resources? Are you going to get approval from neighbors who are bordering this? And I don't really care that much. I'm not going to be here that long for one reason or another. I'm not going to be here that long. I'm thinking about the future. I'm thinking about protecting our environmental resources because if I didn't do it now, I won't be able to do it later. Please consider the management. Just as it's great to have a historical district, but a lot of people can't afford to comply with the requirements that are levied upon them when they have to make decisions about making improvements for their homes. So I'm just saying that we have to have foresight. Hindsight's going to cost us double. It's going to cost a lot of money to make a change on Walden now after it's already been constructed, companies I'm talking about. There are a lot of problems. We need to really think about this carefully. I'd love to see a whole environmental education center developed around this, and I know that our
this is going to be a long process, Maxine. We're just exploring at this point. And I mean, there's people that are interested in it that want to proceed, and they're doing it on a volunteer basis at no cost to the village. So, you know,
it's going to be caught. This isn't going to maintain itself, and when we
get to that point where we're going to actually start talking about construction, then that's the time to address those issues.
It's not just the construction, it's the maintenance. You know, there was an accident. Was this brought up last month's meeting? Right after went home, there was on the news there was an accident at the Albany portion of the Albany rail trail. It was just opened 2 weeks ago. A huge boulder came down and literally almost killed somebody. They were interviewing. I almost sent each and every board member and the mayor a video of it. It was on the news at 9:30. It was after last month's meeting. And that the cost of that accident was the cost of the boulder damage was considerable. And that falls on the burden of the town that it's in, or in this case, Albany.
And agreeable, we need to be vigilant about these things. And at this point, it's still theoretical.
Exactly.
So the points that you're making are very valid. I mean, you're right, and you're holding the board, holding our feet to the fire, that we make sure that should this come up, that we look at this and try to anticipate all of this stuff. And I'm sure we will, and I'm sure you'll be a part of this all along the way. But we're not going to ask people to stop looking at it just because something might happen. We'll look at it, and we'll see if we can resolve the issues that people may have, such as yourself, or if we can't, and then we'll have to make a decision at that time.
I agree.
Okay.
Our maintenance and ownership of that area it won't be negotiable, and it's not theoretical.
The whole system is theoretical at this point. So,
right.
So we will address those issues along the way.
That group doesn't work in theoretical.
Okay.
That group is very practical.
I'll be happy to show you a letter.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, any other public comment?
Actually, I just have one comment that I forgot to mention. Was I did receive a complaint today that apparently there was a bunch of teenagers at the little park over there, and they're vandalizing the roof of the playground equipment, and it was like 11 o'clock at night. And I said I would bring it up so I could let the police know that I guess it needs to be watched some more. So I know we have a law in effect, so... kids are hanging out there again.
Did you ever update the signage on that to say after sunset?
Darkroom.
Or just say 9 o'clock still?
I don't know what it says. But 9 o'clock or sunset is still long before 11.
No.
You have a law.
Did you see people down there last night?
There's a...
I don't know. I guess that's what they...
Well, we would just ask that you keep an eye on it.
Yeah. Right.
You know, that's all we can do when we're here. We'll check it out, and when we're not here, there's not much else we can do.
Right. So. Okay.
All right, so next we got some resolutions to...
I'm sorry, Mayor, I did have...
Oh, go ahead, John.
I just wanted to say, Maxine, you asked very excellent questions. I think, you know, the great thing about the rail trail movement where it is now, there's thousands of communities across the country and probably dozens in New York who we can learn from their mistakes and successes. And I think everything you brought up tonight, there's probably an example of where, you know, where the village wouldn't have to incur any of the maintenance or construction costs, where the environmental impacts are negligible. Even maybe there's benefits to the environment just through the education that can happen along the rail trail. So I think, you know, I would encourage, when we get to that step, and I'm sure that we will, you know, they're not and too far of a drive distance from here. We can, there's case studies everywhere where these questions have been answered. So I think, you know, I wouldn't worry about the cost of the village because there's partnership opportunities everywhere. It's just a matter of finding the right people who can make them happen.
And I think, you know, and I'm thinking that, you know, is, and again, you know, I mean, I think we're kind of putting the cart before the horse here. You know, we don't have a rail trail yet, and we don't have one proposed. We're exploring the possibilities as to whether this can be done. There's a lot of legwork. I mean, it's at least a couple of years down the road anyway. But I think that, you know, there will be a time for this discussion. There will be a time for this discussion and for public input. And I don't think we're there yet. And I think that, you know, there are enough members of this community that are interested in doing the work to find out about this, bring information back to the board, and we've gotten a lot of information. And I think that, you know, the board, I think, is supportive of people getting that information to us and bringing it out and bring it back to the residents. And, you know, and when if it does come to fruition and we have something that we want to talk about, then that is the time to have these discussions, and they would be very appropriate. And I mean, not that it's not appropriate now, but you know, it's, you know, I agree. So,
can I make one comment?
Go ahead.
This is for Officer Jones. the weekend of June 24th, 25th, and 26th, I informed Officer Jones that Historic Eastvale Village was having a ceramics conference for that whole weekend, and that there'd be a lot of cars from Ohio, Florida, you know, Virginia, people that don't know the area, and I just wanted them to let them know that they're going to be around for the 3 days. And I actually got an email from two gentlemen that came from Ohio, and he didn't flick his high beams down, and he got pulled over and was just told that you know, that he needs to be more courteous, and you know, just gave him a warning. And he commented that it was such an experience that the way he was treated, that getting a ticket on a conference that he was going to would have spoiled his whole weekend, but he was appreciative that they just warned him. So thanks. They came into the village, and the people that came into the village, 40 of them went to Tim Bailey's and spent a lot of money there on Sunday, which brings us revenue. And so thanks, you know, for that. But I know when I'm out of town and I don't know roads, and I, you know, but thanks. I appreciate, you know, what you did.
But. Okay. So we need a resolution to accept the auction of the Tahoe.
Yeah, we'll make a resolution.
Second.
Randy and Guy. Any questions on that?
You said that it goes into A fund. What is that? Just the general fund?
That's the general fund.
Okay. Yeah. Anything it could be pulled off of for anything?
Yep.
Or, okay. That's it.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried. Remove the water levy and refund $183.29 for property 211-169-1-11. Who's that? What's that property?
That's 96 John Street. He had already paid it.
Oh, so it's a duplicate payment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Make a motion.
Motion second. By Randy. Second by Dave. Any questions on that? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried. Submission for the rail trail grant application.
I'd like to make a motion to authorize the submission of the application.
Okay, motion by Guy. Second?
I second it.
Second by Randy. Any questions on the motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried. Audit bills number 26.
Oh, wait, we got a couple more, don't we? I have.
No, the only two I got.
Well, you need a resolution to appoint your member panel?
Well, I don't know.
You need a resolution for the crack ceiling?
I thought we did that.
Well, you accepted the bid, but you didn't make a resolution to say we're going to do it.
Okay, well.
So that's the same as the
same.
So we got a three-member panel of Andrew, Randy, and Tom.
Yep. Andrew, Randy, and Tom on the Source Water Protection Plan. I make those appointments.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Dave.
Second.
Second by Guy. Any questions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried. And, okay, so we're covered on the crack ceiling. When we accepted the bid, we agreed to do the work.
Oh, that covers that? Okay.
Yep.
I didn't write it in the quote and do work.
Anything else, Missy?
No.
Okay. Audit bills number 26 through 58 in the amount of $19,661.98 in the general fund and $2,038.99 in the water fund. Motion by Randy.
Second.
Second by Guy. Any questions on the bills? Make sure everybody signs the bills before they leave tonight. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Adjournments in order.
Motion to adjourn.
Randy.
Second.
Second by Dave. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.